Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Just days to the New Hampshire primary, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says he thinks former President Trump is losing support.
You have some folks on our side who don't want to do the Trump thing again, and they checked out, and they checked out of the caucus.
Mr. Trump gets a key endorsement tonight from South Carolina Senator Tim Scott. President Biden signed a short-term funding bill to avert a government shutdown. A grand jury will look into whether any law enforcement officers should be criminally charged for their response to the 2022 massacre at Robb Elementary in Uvalde, Texas. A small commuter plane made an emergency landing on a snowy highway near Washington, D.C.'s Dulles Airport.
Heard a loud noise, thinking, you know, my car blew up or something. And, you know, I look up and there's a plane 20 feet above me.
And Jesse Label says the plane hit a guardrail just feet from his car. House Ways and Means Committees approved a compromise package to expand child tax credits and restore expired tax breaks. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers want to ban abortion in Wisconsin after 14 weeks. Right now it's 20 weeks. There are exceptions. The bill is a public hearing Monday, the same day Vice President Kamala Harris is in Wisconsin to promote reproductive rights. The measure needs to be signed by the governor and approved by voters statewide, but Evers is not likely to sign it. Parents could pull their kids out of discussions over gender identity or racism in school under a Republican bill that passed the Wisconsin Assembly yesterday. Democrats like Representative Melissa Ratcliffe say there's more to it than that.
This bill will inflict psychological harm on LGBTQ students and is another salvo in a culture war that tries to turn fear and misunderstanding into political talking points.
Republicans say they're looking out for parents. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Duluth Mayor Roger Reinert has an alternative plan to his predecessor's library redesign project. According to a Northern News Now report, Mayor Reinert wants to toss out the $75 million plan to redesign the downtown Duluth library and turn the space into housing, commercial, and retail. Mayor Reinert also asked the city council to prioritize state funding for the reimagined project, arguing that the nearly $75 million price tag for redesigning the library is too high for a project that doesn't address more important needs. New information has come to light regarding the shooting in Cloquet that left two people and the suspect dead. According to law enforcement authorities, search warrants revealed that shortly after the shooting, the suspect, Nicholas Lenius, sent a Snapchat message to a man identified as his supervisor and appeared to be on the phone with somebody during the attack in surveillance footage. Officials have still not announced if the victims and the suspect were connected in any way, nor what Lenius's motive was. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Even Republicans know what they don't like, Vivek.
As of this moment, we are going to suspend this presidential campaign.
Oh, this is like the Captain Kirk of goodbye speeches. I must leave the race
there
now.
Is no path to victory.
There is no path for
the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Pack packed their bags for California. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Packers and the 49ers. Saturday night at Levi's Stadium in the divisional playoffs, kickoff 7:15. San Francisco with a powerful offense. Packers defensive back Jair Alexander unable to practice but doing all he can to overcome his ankle injury suffered last week.
I was in treatment about 5-6 hours every day, you know, and then at night, more treatments.
College football, the Badgers assistant defensive coach and top recruiter Colin Hitchler leaving was Wisconsin. He's been hired by Alabama's new head coach, Kalen DeBoer, to join the Crimson Tide. NBA. The Bucks head to Detroit for a weekend series against the Pistons. Damian Lillard on the Bucks' 40-point loss in Cleveland Wednesday night.
It seemed like we came out in a management-type mode. You know, we came out a little bit slow. And knowing that they're a fast-paced team, they play even faster at home. They play better at home. And just, they got right to it.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, low near 8 below. Sunshine for tomorrow, high near 10 above. Warmer and breezy Sunday with sun, high upper teens. An even warmer Monday, mostly cloudy, around 30 to the low 30s. Right now it's 3.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy.
What is up, Wisconsin? And welcome to yet another Maggie Dawn show, somehow missing Maggie Dawn. Like a tuna can you open with no tuna inside, like a day without, I don't know, baseball. Is there some phrase like that? I wasn't told until 5 minutes ago that I would have to speak on air. So this is what you get. It's not law school professional. It's not even technically on air professional. It's just what happens when you let the producer run wild until there she is. There's our girl. Hello. Maggie, how are you? Welcome to your show.
Oh, busy, busy day. Thanks for getting her started for me, Anya.
I try.
The blessing of live radio includes that it gets people like me to places on time. So thanks, everybody, for your patience. Lots of fun stuff to talk about, but a few programming notes before we get crack-a-lackin'. If you enjoyed hearing from Professor Kathleen Eden, she's going to be back with us on January 23rd. On January 24th, the very next day, I'm going to be joined by my former colleague and good friend, Joanna Frotchek, who's a lawyer and also an immigrant. And she's going to tell you and me and us a little bit about her journey. But really excited to say that I've got a Civic Media exclusive interview coming up on Monday with outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm, who has been the DA in this county since 2006. He's been given some pretty candid interviews on you, so I'm looking forward to that.
And one more time, what day is that?
That is this coming Monday.
All good.
So everybody put that on your calendars, and you're not going to want to miss that. Of course, Civic Media is going to be broadcasting the Packers playoff game coming up. That's going to be interesting because first of all, the Packers' former coach is now the Cowboys' coach. So that's an interesting patina on that matchup. You're not going to want to miss that. It's going to be all across the Civic Media radio network. We've got our Kenosha and Racine stations carrying it. If you need to find a place to listen to the game, do not worry. Civic Media has you covered. Just go ahead and download that app. You will find the Packers game there for you. Today, I think we're going to have a really interesting exchange, all of us together now. Because I'd like to talk about Dr. Claudine Gay, the former Harvard University president, who, along with the presidents of three other Ivy League universities, testified before Congress when hearings were commenced and convened to address anti-Semitism on campuses. And I'm not sure, Anya, if you were able to find that sound. She does have it. Let's just take a quick listen. This is Representative Elise Stefanik asking Dr. Gay a pretty particular question. Let's take a listen.
There is yes that calling for the genocide of Jews violates Harvard Code of Conduct, correct?
Again, it depends on the context.
It may be no.
So that's really, in various ways, shapes, and forms, that's what all of the college and university presidents that were testifying before Congress that day said. Interesting little side note on all of this. MIT's president remains in place, which is interesting. I believe the rest of the presidents have resigned or been removed after that testimony. Interesting side, sort of inside baseball, if you are interested in this sort of thing. There has been a flurry of industry gossip amongst public relations consultants and lawyers about who the heck advised these people to answer these questions this way, because that was terrible, right? I mean, give me a call, 844-967-2789, if you want to get in on our discussion today, because I think lots of people are going to have various perspectives on this. And there's a couple of subtopic areas that I want to get into, but it was just fascinating to me as a legal professional when I heard that testimony. I thought, who the heck told them to answer the question like that? Like, that's terrible. Calling for the genocide of any people should violate whatever the heck policy you want to talk about, especially if it's directed at historically oppressed and marginalized groups. Like, that's not good. And it certainly should be possible on a college campus to be able to engage the complicated discussion of the history of the Mideast, of the problematic aspects of Prime Minister Netanyahu, who operates in many ways in an authoritarian type model, who tried to strip Israel's Supreme Court of its oversight powers. We can have that conversation. We can criticize Netanyahu's military response. We can do all of those things. We can talk about whether or not a two-state solution is possible. What does that mean? We can have complicated conversations. In fact, we need to have them, don't we? But being able to have complicated conversations means that you sometimes have to get the simple stuff right. Because if you don't get the simple stuff right, people stop listening. And the simple answer here was that violates Harvard policy to call for the genocide of Jewish people. That's the answer. So I think the failure of those presidents to know in and of themselves to answer the question that way, even if they were advised poorly by their PR experts and their legal experts, they answered the question poorly. Now, of course, these things intersect with free speech rights. Because here in the United States, it's not illegal. And in fact, we protect some of the most abhorrent speech that you can imagine. And so there's a question, are speech codes even appropriate on college campuses? That's a question I'd love to hear people talk about. And so while I don't actually think Dr. Gay's answer to the question is incorrect, right? What she's saying is, if someone just gets up and says that, something that is that disturbing, it likely would violate the policy if it is accompanied by other aggressive actions, a history of hateful behavior and speech, all these sorts of things. In other words, it poses a threat to the academic environment, to the safety of other students. But as a pure matter of First Amendment jurisprudence, right, people can say terrible things, call for the genocide of people. And that's protected speech. Now, universities are, these universities, MIT, Harvard, I think it was Princeton, and who else was there? I'm forgetting. MIT, Harvard, Princeton, and I think it was Penn. Those are private institutions. Those aren't state universities. So they can make whatever rules they want. It's not the government acting there. which is why they can have a speech code. You won't see similar in most public universities. So, do I think that Dr. Gay's failure to respond to that question in a way that was would resonate appropriately, did that merit her firing or being forced out? I don't know. I don't run a university. I'm not in higher education. So that's not my judgment to make. And I think people can make arguments on either side of that one. But the other thing that I want to talk about, so a question to you all, should there be speech codes on campuses? Right? How does that impact academic freedom? How do we prepare young people to be able to engage with complexity? Frankly, engage with people that say things that they find deeply offensive. And doesn't this sound a lot like the debate that we're having about book bans on the other end of the spectrum? Right? So it seems to me that frankly, people on both sides of the political dial seem to be quite situational about when they want to protect speech and when they don't. It seems to me that people on both sides of the spectrum in these questions seem to be pretty selective about exposing young people to challenging and sometimes offensive, upsetting content. So there's a lot here. Should there be speech codes on campuses? One of the things that I wanted to reach was what I think is clearly a pretextual reason, meaning a garbage reason, a reason that sounds good but isn't the real reason, that there was a pretextual reason to forcing Dr. Gay out. And the pretextual reason was that she plagiarized. And I'm going to talk about actually how academics publish, what peer review actually entails in higher education, in part how professors and other university leaders are compensated, how those things figure into all of this. And I'm going to actually get down to the brass tacks of how frequent plagiarism occurs, that plagiarism isn't a point, it's not a narrowly defined set of things, that there's actually sort of a spectrum of plagiarism and academic dishonesty, that, you know, that all allegations of plagiarism are not the same in their seriousness. And that this is, frankly, totally well known and accepted amongst members of the academy. And so I want to hear from you. Did you attend a university or college that had a plagiarism policy? How was it enforced, if at all? Was it just part of the honor code or code of conduct for the university? Because I just think that this issue has been completely misrepresented in the press. I think the dialogue around this has been woefully inadequate. And to me, at the end of the day, Dr. Gay stands as a premier example of the phenomena that I myself have experienced, that when mistakes are made by women and people of color or LGBTQ people in positions of leadership, authority, and power, those become fatal. When the same or worse conduct or mistakes by old white dudes gets graciousness, understanding, and excuse making. Keep it locked, everybody. Join our conversation, 844-967-2789, here on The Maggie Dawn Show.
And I'm crazy for loving.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or professional technician, Auto Value is committed to providing the parts you need and the service you deserve. Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
Your school can earn up to $10,000 this year. Just save the UPCs from the Country Hearth products your family already enjoys. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. That's loavesforlearning.com.
It's fully leaded education talk. Hard facts with a humorous twist. Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Everybody, I'm Maggie Dawn. She's Anya Esther. Go ahead, give her a call, 844-967-2789. I'd love to hear your thoughts about how the presidents of Harvard, MIT, and Penn handled their congressional testimony. If you think there should be such a thing as speech codes on university and college campuses, how do we square that with the First Amendment? Want to hear your thoughts if you attended a university that has a plagiarism policy. Most of them do. Any experience with getting it enforced? Many of you may know, if you're a regular listener here on the Maggie Dawn Show, that I have a master's degree in applied economics. Applied economics is basically like mathematical econ. So you learn all the concepts and theories of the fundamental principles of micro and macroeconomics. And then you actually have to learn and demonstrate knowledge and proficiency in the mathematics that proves up the economic theory. So yeah, it's a little weedy. And you have to you have to complete a thesis, a master's thesis, and then defend it. It's like PhD light. It's a prerequisite to going on to get a PhD or a doctor in philosophy. And in fact, my work on my thesis ended up being published. I was a co-author on that work with the professor who helped oversee my thesis and the research project that I based my thesis upon. Pretty unusual to be a master's student and get co-author credit, but it was a wonderful surprise. And I'm very thankful to my thesis advisor, Dr. David Clark at Marquette University, that helped me with that. I say all of that as background to just share, I have some knowledge and firsthand experience with the way academic publications work. So let me explain. Typically, to get your work published, if you are a university professor or someone that is in a tenure track to become a full tenured professor at a university, to do so, you need to publish. You need to publish a lot. And what qualifies something for publication basically is one thing. It has a lot of elements to it, but it's one thing. You are moving an existing theory of your particular specialty forward by showing new and different, typically quantitative analyses that relate to a particular topic. Or you have basically a brand new idea or theory or research body of research that you've conducted that you're sharing, that sort of blockbuster, changing the field in some way or moving it, revolutionizing, moving the field forward. There's an idea of it has to be your new idea, your new way of analyzing, a new application of prior research models. It has to be your ideas. That's the core of what is required in academic publications. So how does that happen? If you think about various specializations, it's like, hasn't everything under the sun been written about Keynesian economics? Turns out not. That's what academics do. They try to push the bounds of their particular specializations. They try to see if theories still hold up. It's a kind of a version of scientific inquiry, if you will. But typically, professors and folks on a tenure track to become professors work with research assistants who are typically graduate level students, to conduct new research. And then they have those graduate assistants write up paper drafts that the professors then review and submit to various academic journals. What makes a journal academic? A journal is like a magazine that publishes academic papers. Yes, if you're all yawning, that's what most people would do. And here's what. The vast majority of academic papers published in academic journals don't get read much. There's hundreds and thousands of these that get cranked out every year because you get compensated as a professor and you become a full professor with tenure protections based on your publication volume and the prestige of the journals in which you get to publish your original thinking and research in. Do you see where I'm going with this? So they have research assistants and graduate students typically actually do the work and some of the number crunching and the writing. They then submit these things to these academic journals that review the paper. And they are supposed to be reviewing the paper to make sure that it is indeed original. It's a brand new idea. It's a new analysis. They're moving that particular specialty forward. They're supposed to check the data validity. They're supposed to check it for plagiarism. But who sits on academic journal editorial review boards? Any guesses, right? It's professors, right? Other academics in the specialty. They get compensated to do it. But guess what professors don't want to do? Spend a whole lot of time reading volumes and volumes and volumes of submissions to journals. So who do they give that work to? Guess what? It's their graduate research assistants. Guess what graduate research assistants are doing? A ton of work. They may be teaching courses, grading courses, writing the work for professors, doing the research for professors, and then reviewing the paper submissions that a professor is responsible for because they sit on a journal's submissions committee or their editorial review committee. Research assistants get worked to death. I know I was one. And so what happens is you have people who have not been in that particular field for very long. They're brand new academics in their field. For me, mathematical economics. And it is these newbies that in many circumstances are the ones that are reviewing the journal submissions. Okay. And keep in mind that the incentive structure for folks on tenure track and full professors is publish. You've heard this phrase, publish or perish. This is what it refers to. So you've created an incentive system where people are compensated based on their publications. And that system is fueled and largely the work gets done by very new green graduate students in these various fields. And I'm going to throw this last log on the fire, and then we come back from these important messages. I'll tell you what the implication of all of this is. And then on top of it, take this fact. The number of academic journals in the United States has exploded in the last 5 years. Just exploded. I don't have the statistic at the ready, but it's something like doubled or tripled. So when we come back, I'm going to stitch all of this together. And we're going to talk about then what plagiarism is and the systems that actually promote it, allow it to go unchecked. And then we can talk about and understand selective enforcement, selective punishment for so-called plagiarism. And indeed, that is what happened to Dr. Gay. I am Maggie Dawn. She's Anya Esther. Go ahead and give us a call, 844-967-2789. We'll be back with more in a moment on this edition of The Maggie Dawn Show.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More people than ever have a job in Wisconsin. State officials are out with their final numbers for December. Department of Workforce Development Chief Economist Dennis Winter.
If you add jobs and pay people, they'll consume more, and consumption drives the U.S. economy. So that feed loop, positive feedback loop keeps circling on itself. We're going to continue to see economic gains and workforce gains.
Wisconsin added more than 2,200 jobs in December. The jobless rate in Wisconsin is a near-record low, 3.3%. Reproductive rights will be the topic when Vice President Kamala Harris visits Big Bend on Monday. That's according to a release put out by the White House Thursday. Her remarks come on the 51st anniversary of the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Across the line, right side, he'll launch it for three at the horn. He got it at the buzzer! To the rim, and he sends it down with the left hand. Right side shooting for the win. Got it! Bronson Koenig! Step back three straight on. Got it! Sam Decker. Bo Ryan will win for the 300th time as the head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers. Snaps off another three. Booked it. Oh, my goodness. Don't wake him up. Greg Kaminsky, a single game school record, 43 points.
I can't believe I'm going to say it, but here it comes. The Wisconsin Badgers are going to the Final Four.
Badger basketball is on the air. Today's game is brought to you by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Fabic Rents, for all your equipment rental needs throughout Badgerland. And by SeatGeek, official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. Welcome to the Badger Shootaround.
Courtside at the Kohl Center and back home for the Wisconsin Badgers, looking to start another winning streak. Their six-game run was snapped on Tuesday night in State College as Penn State outscored the Badgers 87-83. So Wisconsin trying to get things right here this evening. 5-1 are the Badgers in Big Ten play, still in first place, one half game ahead of the Purdue Boilermakers, 13-4 overall. Mike Woodson's Hoosiers 12-6 overall, 4-3 in conference play, coming off a loss against Purdue earlier this week. Brian Butch joins me here tonight. So a chance to get right. Welcome to college basketball. You can look really good one day and you can get humbled the next. And that was what happened on Tuesday night, as those guards were just a little bit too quick for Wisconsin on Tuesday, weren't they?
Well, they were, but you talk about it, it's also getting humbled on the road. Now this team is at home against a team against Indiana. And I think that's the biggest thing, is on the road, it's always some challenges. You know there's going to be some hiccups throughout the season. That's the reality of what college basketball is. How do you respond? It's easy to come out, play well with the energy you need when you're on a winning streak. You lose a game, you can't lose two in a row. We know how good Purdue is. We know how good the top of this league is. You can't find ways to lose games. And it's got to start on the defensive end. When you look at this Wisconsin team, I thought they actually played pretty well against Penn State. They just couldn't get any stops, which is not Wisconsin basketball. So it's get back to who you are. Make sure you defend, keep guys in front of you, and then guard as five. And that's what I see them doing tonight against Indiana. I think that's the biggest challenge ahead.
All right. A Wisconsin team, or a Wisconsin program, I should say, that has beaten Indiana here at the Kohl Center 19 consecutive times. The Hoosiers' one and only win in this building was the second home game Wisconsin had here back in the 1998 season. 19 game streak, trying to hit 20 here tonight. 7:40 is your tip time for the Badgers and Indiana. We'll hear from head coach Greg Gard. We'll check in with assistant coach Dean Oliver. And coming up, we'll touch base with Jesse Temple of The Athletic. Our pregame coverage gets rolling in a couple of minutes. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
Life's better with an auto policy from American Family Insurance. No matter what dreams you're driving towards. That's because our expert agents will make you feel totally protected with the right auto coverage at the right price. You'll also save up to 23% when you bundle auto with home. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey friends, Mott's Matt here for Brewpub Lots of Mott's Pizza. Does it seem like you're camping in the forest of complaints when it comes to your kids and dinner time? Phrases like,
what even is that?
And,
we're having that again?
Or,
seriously?
Are getting tossed around like a frisbee at the beach. I know you want to break free from the barrage of bemoaning, so toss in a Brewpub Lots of Mott's Pizza for dinner tonight. That thin crust, delicious sauce, and mountain of mozzarella will have the kids singing your praises at dinner time. Snag a Brewpub Lots of Mott's Pizza today from the freezer section in your local grocery store.
There's no better time than now to join Badger men's basketball at the Kohl Center. Secure your seats today and be there as the Badgers face off against Big Ten rivals all month on their home court. For more information on Wisconsin men's basketball and to purchase tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
For generations, hardworking people have relied on Ford F-Series trucks to help grow businesses, communities, families. A legacy of capability and technology that has made Ford F-Series America's best-selling trucks 47 years straight. This is the next generation of built Ford tough. Based on 1977 to 2023 calendar year total sales.
We get started with our Badgers pregame show, and as always, we'll get things rolling with Jesse Temple of The Athletic. Jesse, I was telling someone yesterday, coming off the Penn State game on Tuesday night. In 2011, these two programs met in the first round of the Big Ten tournament. You're smiling. You know where I'm going. In Indianapolis, the final score was 36-33, Penn State. I remember Gus Johnson was calling that game, and we looked at each other, and he just had this look of despair because he didn't have too many opportunities to go all full-throttle Gus. So 87-83, fans won points. It was revealing, I guess, in the moment that they gave up that much, especially those two guards. But it's the nature of college basketball, isn't it? You can look like world beaters one night, and the next night you look really vulnerable the way this team did, especially defensively.
That's exactly right. I think that Big Ten tournament game, by the way, the joke was that it set basketball back about 50 years. It certainly looked like a pre-shot clock era kind of game. Glad we didn't have to watch that this week, but you're right. The defensive effort is something that has to get better if Wisconsin wants to be consistently good at this level. I look at the offensive end and say, that's good enough to beat pretty much any team. You average about 1.2 points per possession, and the Badgers have continued to be pretty efficient offensively, but defensively, those guards, it seemed like, were able to get to whatever spots they wanted to. And I give them credit. Kanye Clary and Ace Baldwin were able to make some tough shots, but the two of them accounted for 47 points. So Wisconsin, I think the two biggest questions to me moving forward, it's not about offense. It's about defense, and it's about turnovers, because they've had their share of turnovers, especially in the last two games. And that is atypical of what we see from Wisconsin basketball.
Yeah, as Greg Gard mentioned, they got away with it in the Northwestern game. And, you know, they've been, like you said, the two previous games, certainly against Northwestern, they were giving up a point plus per possession. You know, they had 13 turnovers against Northwestern. Penn State lives on that. It can get a lot of its offense from its defense. So now everybody else sees what Greg was talking about. But at the risk of beating a dead horse, Jesse, I want to go back to what we talked about before the game. We're playing this kind of a style. Can be good for Wisconsin, could be good for all the teams in the Big Ten that can get into the NCAA tournament. It's good if you can solve it. But you could easily see this kind of a matchup. Let's say Wisconsin goes in as a 3 or a 4. And that first round opponent might not be a team that anybody here knows anything about. Could be smaller, could be really quick. They could see this style all over again, right?
You're absolutely right, Matt. It goes to show you that you have to consistently execute at a high level to give yourself a chance. And what's crazy to me is Max Klesmit buried a three-pointer in that second half that gave Wisconsin a two-point lead, the first lead the Badgers had. And I thought, oh, Wisconsin's going to win this one. They have not played as well as they should have to date, and Penn State deserves a lot of credit for the way that they played. But Wisconsin wasn't able to close the door. And they haven't been in a lot of, this is another thing that's probably worth pointing out, they haven't been in a lot of late game situations where it's one possession. I think they hadn't played any games that were decided by 5 points or fewer all season. And last year they sort of lived and died on that. And so if nothing else, if you're looking for a silver lining, going through an experience like that, playing a different style and then losing can give you a lot to learn from. And to me, this feels like a pivotal moment in Big Ten play as we get into this Indiana game when you look what's ahead in the schedule.
Well, to go outside the what we have seen as the rotation for Wisconsin, Greg Gard has mentioned in conversations I've had with him the last couple of weeks especially. I mean, the Connor Asijan story is that's the one that everybody is talking about, and I get that. But Gard has said he's trying to find more minutes for Marcus Hill. He comes in, plays 5 minutes in the first half, has 5 rebounds, knocks down a shot, has an assist. This guy looks like he's given himself, as Paul Christ would say, a chance to have a chance to get into the rotation. Your observations of him, I know it was very limited minutes, but he made the most of them on Tuesday night.
He certainly did. He also had an assist and he had a block shot at the rim. He did everything you could possibly ask for in 5 minutes. And this is part of the challenge that Greg is going through this season, something that I talked with him about a couple of weeks ago after a practice. It's twofold. He wants to make sure that his main guys get enough minutes that they feel comfortable and they're in a rhythm. And at the same time, he wants to make sure that those guys who are at the end of the rotation get consistent enough minutes to feel confident. And Marcus obviously has been on that fringe where some games he's just not really going to be a part of it. And some games like Penn State, you might get 5 minutes, but he made the most of it. I remember watching a practice a couple weeks ago, and this speaks to the depth that they have. Greg was rolling through 11 different guys with the top unit, and Marcus was kind of number 11 there. But clearly, he's got a skill set that is intriguing. He's tall, he's lanky, he can step outside and make threes. It's been a matter of being more consistent and being physical in the way that you need to in the Big Ten. But if you get 5 minutes and do that, it's probably worth giving you another 5 minutes and seeing what you can do in the next game.
About a minute left here. You're a pretty young guy, so you read about all those years that Bob Knight led his teams to Final Fours and national championships. One of the more remarkable and maybe underwritten or talked about deals right now is Wisconsin. Here's the jinx alert. Wisconsin has beaten Indiana at the Kohl Center 19 consecutive times. Now, for an older guy like me, that's mind-blowing. For a young guy like you, is it mind-blowing or no?
I'm going to be 40 this year, so I don't know that, I don't know how young I am. I remember growing up with the Bob Knight era in the early 90s, but yes, this is mind-blowing. Even if Indiana hasn't been what you remember Indiana being a couple decades ago, they've had some really good teams, and it's not like Indiana is a perennial bottom feeder, so this is an unbelievable streak, and Wisconsin's going to have to play well yet again to continue this, and I mentioned before, Matt, about the importance of this. I just think you're coming off a loss. Then you've got a road game against Minnesota. Then you've got to play a Michigan State team that continuously gets better. So this is a big one for the Badgers.
All right. He's Jesse Temple of The Athletic. Stay with us. We'll take a break. More of our pregame coverage is coming up. Our Badger Spotlight is up next as we visit with assistant coach Dean Oliver. Back in a couple of minutes. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
It takes hard work to be the best in the game. Planning, commitment, resilience, sweat. That's why Old Dominion Freight Line, the number one national LTL carrier for quality, works hard to be the best in the game and is proud to support those striving to be the best in theirs. Old Dominion Freight Line, official freight carrier of Wisconsin Athletics, helping the world keep promises.
Normally, when we do a commercial, we talk about all of the options a Cleary building has. We talk about storing your toys or using it for a workshop. But that's not what I'm going to talk about today. I'd like to salute our remarkable team for giving the customer service you deserve. From our engineers to the folks pounding nails, we are proud of each and every one of them, and we think you will be too. So instead of talking about plenty of space for your vehicles, I hope you will give the best in the business a chance. Cleary Building Corp. Since 1978.
at Shields. We know the basketball season is a full court press from tip-off to final buzzer. Each game presents an opportunity to see your Badgers take the court and compete for the win. So be there for every second to show your support head-to-toe in Wisconsin red and white. Shields has partnered with the Wisconsin Badgers to provide your favorite fan gear. So visit Shields in-store or online to start every game with a slam dunk. Shields, proud partner of Wisconsin athletics and basketball fans everywhere.
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burger, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
SeatGeek's the ticketing app for fans like the sideline shot caller.
Come on, boys, pick up the pace!
SeatGeek got him a great deal on seats right near the action, so when he yells,
"What are you doing? Block him!"
he can be absolutely sure the players heard him. SeatGeek handles the tickets to sports, concerts, and more, so fans can fan.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Our pregame coverage continues. Time now for our Badgers Spotlight. And this evening, we'll check in with Badgers assistant coach Dean Oliver. Well, as Wisconsin fans know, the Badgers have a couple of pretty good guards who are on Greg's coaching staff. Sharif Chambliss, of course, as well as Coach Oliver, who was a standout guard at the University of Iowa. So who better to talk about the position than those guys? And we'll focus on Chucky Hepburn and his continued evolution as a point guard. Overall, his assist-to-turnover ratio better than 3-1. Matter of fact, in Big Ten play, it's close to 4-1 assist versus turnovers. I asked Coach Oliver about the growth of Chucky and how he has become an all-around player in this program.
Well, I think the big thing is he's learned how to sacrifice the right things at the right time and kind of really think the game, much more advanced at looking at situations and how to put guys in better position, what plays to call. He's doing a lot more play calling out there than before, and knowing in the moment what we need, whether it's pushing the tempo, whether it's pulling it out, things that he's learned from and his experiences are really starting to take hold, and you can't really see it in the stat sheet. It doesn't always result in more assists or more scoring or anything, but it's noticeable in the win column, and I think that's what you're seeing in winning moments. He's made the right call, made the right plays, or got the ball where it needs to be.
It's really fun to watch this because as much as things are changing in college athletics, this place has always been about player development, and a lot of programs are, but it really has been the case here, and this is a shining example of it, isn't it?
Oh, no doubt about it, and it's just a growth process mentally as far as how to play the game, how to win at this level. Often so many times it isn't shown just by your physical ability, but it's also what you're thinking about out there and what you're getting other guys to do and how you're pulling guys with you. And I think that's where he's really grown this year and starting to show that he's maybe his numbers aren't increasing in every category, but he's definitely a better player and a better leader in growing his game.
Another guy that obviously has gotten a lot of attention here, Badger fans have been really excited about, is Max Klesman. Even the other night, the minutes were limited, he had foul trouble, but 15 minutes, 10 points. What's that like? be in a zone like that, what Max has been going through here the last couple of games?
Well, I tell you what, it's a lot of fun. It's fun to watch, too. You know, he's really just playing with a lot of confidence and feeding off his teammates. I think that's the main thing, is that he is taking great shots, and you know, his teammates have confidence in finding him. Especially when he gets going, they're looking for him. They're setting great screens. They're, you know, encouraging him to take the right shots, and that's what he's continuing to do. And you know, and the great thing about Max is he really isn't doesn't care who gets the glory. You know, there's been games where he doesn't take a lot of shots, but he's always going to be ready to step up in the big moment and take the ones you need. And some games it's 25 points, some games it could be zero, but he's consistent with his approach, consistent with his defense, and bringing that intensity, and just such a great team player.
I was going to say, he's all that and tough as nails, too.
No doubt about it.
Let's get into the Hoosiers here a little bit, as you've got the scout for that. I know Indiana's coming off a tough one against its in-state rival. Yet, I mean, the first thing that really jumps out is that front line. I mean, they've got some dudes up there, don't they?
Yeah, and Renault has really improved a lot, and they're going to him a lot. He's left-handed, physical, and then he's really added the ability to shoot from the outside. There's not much he can do. He passes it well, so he's a big challenge. And you throw Ware, Khalil Ware, in there with him, who's always a threat for the lobs and such a great shot blocker. And, you know, just their team defense, they've been really good. You look at their rankings, they're holding teams to, I think, 26% from three and only, I think, 46% from two. That's tough to do, to guard both. And they always have five great defenders out there. And that's going to be a big challenge for us, is trying to get some good shots versus a really good defense who really get extended and get out on you, and they have a shot blocker and Ware back there behind it. So that's going to be a big challenge for us.
And then Trey Galloway, he's been in the program for a while. He's had some big games. He'll do the stuff at the other end, but he's had some big games offensively.
Definitely. He's really playing aggressive. He always has. I think last year his role was more of a D-stopper, and this year he has an increased role on the offensive end and has really taken advantage, playing great basketball, getting downhill, getting out in transition. He's a tough player to stop because he's such a, you know, he's got a lot of experience, and he's a savvy vet. He knows all the tricks of the trade, how to get to the free throw line, how to find guys. I think he's averaging four assists a game, really finding guys, and he's kind of their energy guy. You know, he's always been a hustle player, but he's really playing at a high level, and on top of that, they have a veteran point guard in Xavier Johnson. So they have experience in the backcourt there and in the front court. They're going to be tough to stop as well. So,
best part about your gig is that you got to turn the page quickly, right? I mean, if you win, it's great. You celebrate, but you got to turn it. And the same thing after the other night, right?
You know, after a loss, the worst is if you don't get to play for a long time. So I think both teams, you know, they're coming off a loss as well. So I think both teams would be eager to get after it, and it's going to be some exciting basketball.
That's Badgers assistant coach Dean Oliver, and that is tonight's Badger Spotlight. We'll take a break. When we continue, we'll have our Badger Notebook as pregame coverage continues. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, but you can't drive high. You can run, but you can't drive high.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Our Badger pregame show continues. Just to let you all know, tip time will be 7:45 Central Time. So we got a nice long pregame show, which means an extra edition of Badger Notebook with Patrick Herb. He's going to be digging deep into the files here. We've been talking, Patrick, here these several minutes of the show here so far, this pretty stunning home court winning streak that Wisconsin has against Indiana at 19 games. I'm in the older crowd. I remember when Indiana had a 31-game streak against Wisconsin, period. So the thought that the Badgers could turn the tables the way they have against Indiana in this building is nothing short of remarkable.
It's one of the more astounding notes you're going to have about Wisconsin basketball, but really any Big Ten basketball team, to the point where it's equaled the longest streak win streak anybody's ever had against Purdue, against Indiana at home. Purdue did it 100 years ago. They also beat Indiana 19 straight times. But I don't believe in jinxes, so I talk about it every year. Sometime Indiana will win in this building, and we'll feel bad about it. But I talked about it when it was 14 in a row, and 15, and 16, and 17. So I'm going to keep talking about it, that Wisconsin has done 19 times in a row. But it's not just in this building. Wisconsin's had a ton of success against this program anyway, even not at the Kohl Center. In fact, they've won 23 of the last 27, 10 of the last 12. They're 10-3 under Greg Gard, so he's carried over what Bo Ryan and Dick Bennett before him were able to accomplish. But you talk about the way the series has flipped, and you could draw a hard line around 2002 when that Bo Ryan-Greg Gard tree became part of this program, and the stats before and after are mind-bending. In the 92 seasons that these two teams played prior to 2002, Wisconsin was 49-91. So they lost 2-1, basically, every time they played Indiana, including that string of 31 straight losses that you mentioned. Since that 2002 arrival, the Badgers have won 81% of the games against Indiana, going 30-7 overall. So now, let's talk about this 19-game home win streak and some of the things that make it just mind-boggling. You're not going to win that many without having some close calls, and Wisconsin has had them. You remember the last time Indiana was here, Wisconsin erased a 22-point deficit to come back and win, and I remember thinking, boy, if Indiana can't win that one, are they ever going to win in this building? Knock on wood. The Hoosiers' last win in Madison came in 1998. That was the inaugural season, game two of the Kohl Center. Wisconsin, so other ones, the things that have happened. Wisconsin has had two different overtime games against Indiana during that streak, one that went to double overtime. The streak. In 1998, the same time that this streak, within the last time Indiana won, this is the time capsule period, a piece of the Badger notebook. The Drudge Report had just broken the Monica Lewinsky, Bill Clinton story. That's how long ago it was. Titanic won Best Picture at the Academy Awards.
That was a good movie, though.
The Broncos beat the Packers in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 32. The Brewers moved from the AL to the NL.
There you go.
That feels like forever ago. Seinfeld was in the last season. Under Armour moved out of Kevin Plank grandmother's brownstone in Washington, D.C. to get their own warehouse in Baltimore. Google hadn't even been founded yet. That's how long ago it was. So a couple other things on it. It has spanned three different coaches. It started with Dick Bennett, Bo Ryan, Greg Gard. It has spanned seven Indiana coaches. Bob Knight started the streak with that loss in 1999, in his final game in the Big Ten. Mike Davis went 0-5 in this building. Kelvin Sampson, 0-1. Dan Dockich didn't get a chance in the portion of the season that he coached. Tom Crean, 0-8 in this building as the Indiana Hoosiers coach. Archie Miller, 0-3, and Mike Woodson, 0-1. The Badgers have held Indiana to 61 or fewer points in 14 of those 19. The defense has been the constant theme through most of that stretch. And coming off Tuesday's game, I think this team would like to get back to that tonight.
You talk about the defense. For me, it was the belief. You talked about the 0-2, 0-3, and then I got here. Not once did we think that Indiana was better than us. And I think it starts by those first groups coming in, breaking that streak, and then understanding that, no, we're just as good. Indiana has the history. You know how I am with history.
Yes.
We walked into Assembly Hall, and I'm picking your brain. But when you're good enough and you believe in what a group can do, then that gets passed down from your seniors to your juniors, sure, and so forth. And that's what this group, when I look at this streak, that's what I see.
And yeah.
I see it being passed down, understanding this isn't the IU mm-hmm. of national championship IU, right? Like, this is a team we're just as good at year in and year out.
Not even just as good at, way better. So nobody on this Badgers team was born alive in 1998, the last time Indiana won. So the only thing they know is that Wisconsin is on a higher plane. You can talk blue bloods all you want. The last 25 years, Wisconsin far surpasses Indiana in terms of credentials on the basketball court. They just do. That's facts.
It's kind of interesting in our broadcast crew. Our analysts both have had a hand in close wins at Indiana.
Sure.
Not the Kohl Center specifically, but in Bloomington. Charlie Wills just, you know,